praise God. Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad to be live on the air with you again this Sunday afternoon. It's great to be here. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. With me today is Nan right here in the studio. And then Carol's joining us from Georgia after a while. So it's fun, isn't it, Nan, to be on the radio and just do God's work and presenting the gospel the way we do it week after week.
It's exciting. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. And we had a great day at Beacon of Hope today, did we not?
Oh, we had a fantastic day.
We did. Prophetic word was flowing. Yes. We had a lot going on and people's lives changed for God's kingdom. Today was a great day.
You could just feel the moving of the Holy Spirit, during all aspects of the service.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just like at this one little given time, but it was like the whole service, the whole time was just filled just with such an anointing of the Lord, and you could feel it.
It was just
changing you. I mean, if you had a problem when you walked in, that didn't seem to be so surmountable after had the encounter as we did with our Father this morning.
Oh, I know. Just fantastic. And the music, I mean, we love our praise band. They're incredible. And some of you have heard Aaron Boone here live in the studio. She'll be on again next week with her guitar. And I guess she was on last Sunday when we had the anniversary show. It was our 5-year anniversary.
That's right.
Last Sunday. So we are starting our 6th year on the radio today, which is pretty exciting. And it's a new phase, you know?
It's kind of exciting to be part of the new phase.
The new phase. That's right. And Nan, you are. Because, you've been a part of Beacon for a few years now. And we're so glad that you're part of the radio team. And Carol has been on for a long time. We're excited to have her join us today. She always brings wisdom and grace. And I just love what she has to say. And so it's a good thing. And we're excited to be here today. It's kind of weird weather in Clearwater, Florida today. It's crazy wind just about knocks you off your feet. Or if you wear a toupee, I think it could just take it with it today, right?
Yes, windy enough. If it's not put down good, it probably could take it away.
It's kind of crazy and rain in and out. But anyway, we're just so grateful. We're thankful. Man, we're thankful to have this ministry on the air. It amazes me. In Indiana, when I pastored up there at Cornerstone Ministries, we had 2 radio shows a week. We actually had 2 on Sunday morning, believe it or not. I don't know if I've told you this. One at 9 and one at 9:30. They were 30-minute shows and on 2 separate stations.
Wow.
One in the town of Anderson, which was close to Newcastle where we lived, and the other one in Muncie. So the only way for me to accomplish that and still preach at 10 was to go and record those, prior on Thursdays. I would go and record those, and then they get them to the stations and so forth.
Wow.
So anyway, it's so much better the way we have it now, that we can be live right here in the studio for 2 hours. But, those 5 years, and it was 5 years in Indiana that I was on the radio in those 2 stations, it was great to have that ministry out to the communities, and a lot of people, we're listening to the word from those stations back then. That's clear back, Nan.
A while back, huh?
Yeah.
You can tell us how long a while back?
Late 80s, early 90s, And I know you didn't think I was that old.
When you were 15?
Yeah, when I was 15, yeah. Yeah, my people here at Beacon of Hope humor me on my age, don't we?
Well, it seems most appropriate.
It is most appropriate, yeah.
You were talking about us having the radio show. It really is exciting to get to come and be part. It's ministry.
It is ministry.
Part of that ministry. And it's not like you're doing something you go to do. We actually wind up kind of killing time, if you will, between morning service and radio show to do the radio show.
Right, exactly.
Because there's just not enough time in there to go do anything else. So we just, today we just had a two-hour lunch.
Two-hour lunch
and just talked about the Lord and
fun things.
And,
yeah.
But it is a ministry.
It is great. It's great to be here. So we're glad you've joined us today. A lot going on at Beacon of Hope these days. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7. Wednesday night is a fun Bible study, isn't it, Nan?
It's the most enjoyable Bible study I've ever been to in all my adult life.
And you've been in the ministry
a long time.
Long time.
Back when I was 15, too.
Yeah, when you were 15 also. But it's different than a lot of Bible studies because we really gear it to be very interactive with people and allow people to be involved in the study as we teach it.
Well, I think that's what's so special about it, because, you know, if you're teaching something, if we don't, and I've asked you several times, if we don't understand something, we can just kind of stop and right. ask a question. And, you know, you respond back with the answer, and you help us to learn. And that's what it's all about, is help learning about our
learning
Father,
word.
Learning
yes.
the Word, learning those things. And it allows us the opportunity to be able to do that.
It really does.
Do that. It's, you don't just lecture for the time you're up there. It's just, it's interactive.
It's teaching,
Bible.
Interactive.
It's teaching. It's wonderful.
We're reading the book of John right now. Is that helping you? Is that changing your life now?
John's a pretty awesome
I love the book of John.
It's
21 chapters.
21 chapters. A lot of meat. A lot of meat in that book.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, to me, Jesus comes alive in the pages of the book of John. If you join us regularly on the radio, we encourage you to be reading the book that we are studying at each time. It's not really by the month, because a lot of times these series that we do extend way past 1 month.
Oh, yes.
But this series is on the life of Jesus, found in the book of John. So we're going there to John 14 today, if you have your Bible. And we're just excited about teaching the Word. That is what Beacon of Hope Ministries is all about, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And we're going to be talking about that today. So find your Bible. Let's go to John 14. And the whole goal today is for you to get to a new level of faith and awareness of Jesus in your life today. That is our goal today on the show. We really want to see God move mightily in our listeners' hearts and in their lives. And really get these principles that Jesus was talking about. These are his words we're going to be talking about in John 14. And so we ask right now, let's join in prayer. Lord, we ask that our listeners, whether they listen right now live or whether they catch the show later on our website, that they would just open their eyes. Lord, that you would open their eyes to the truths of the gospel, that you would open their hearts to want to hear what you have to say to them. And Lord, let each of us draw closer to you in the next few moments. Let us desire you, all that you have for us. Lord, let us really come to a new level of awareness of you working in our lives. Lord, that is our goal. That is where we're coming from. And so, Lord, let it be. And open the eyes of our heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open my eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open my eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh,
eyes. God, I love that song. Woo! Open the eyes of my heart. Let that be our prayer today as we go through the next few moments together. John chapter 14, Jesus started out saying, "Let not your hearts be troubled." In the original Greek, that word troubled means distressed or agitated. And I know a lot of us go through life a little distressed and agitated.
Yeah, just a little bit sometimes.
Ever have that happen in your life, Dan?
Oh, during, yeah, at least a couple.
Yeah, a couple times a day. And you're thinking, whoa, you know, wow, this is going on and that's going on. And I feel so much stress, you know, distress, you know, and anguish or what, agitation. And Jesus is addressing everybody here and he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." In one translation, it says, "Believe in God." Is you have the King James?
Yes. What's
it say?
In God, believe in
believe
God.
Believe in God. Yes, believe ma'am. Also in me.
Yes.
And you know, God wants us to get to that point where it's not just believing, but it's trusting. And there is a difference. And I think it's interesting that the King James translates that word in the original Greek, "believe," and in the NIV, it is translated "trust." And also in the Message Bible, it's translated "trust." Take it from a level of just believing, mm-hmm. but take it to that next level of trusting, okay? And I think we all kind of struggle with that. I think we all kind of, you know, it's one thing. We believe in God. I mean, a lot of us are at that point, have been for all their lives, maybe right. grew up in church like you and I, where we believed God. Sure, we believed in Jesus. But when you get to a more mature level in God, you realize it's not enough just to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But we also must get to a level of where we begin to really trust him in our lives, you know?
Yes. I'm answering like Connie. You know?
Yes, you are.
The trust is important.
It is.
You know, and there's so, you know, I would even venture to say, you know, it's easy to trust God when everything's going great.
That's true.
I mean, it's easy.
It is.
I mean, I can just have so much trust in God.
Right.
It's when the difficult times come against us. It's when our trials come against us, and as they will, and they do, and they will always come in various ways, come against us.
Absolutely.
That's when we really need to have a foothold into what John is. Jesus
Absolutely.
Is telling us in the book of John.
Absolutely.
And move forward with that trust in the midst of the trial because we know that he will see us through.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms or mansions or places." In the original Greek, it's really translated places. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there ye may be also." I don't know about that, but that is, I love to use this little passage when I do funerals because, you know, God does have a place for us. We're headed somewhere. We have direction in our lives, you know. We know that we have that blessed hope that one day we're going to live with Jesus for all eternity. And we're going to see each other. And that's pretty cool,
that's
too.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Nan, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to live all eternity with me. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a good thing I love you.
It is, isn't it? It is. I'm sure I'll still be kidding you at that point, and you me.
That's okay. That's the way it is.
That's right. Thomas says in verse, what is that, 4?
5.
Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" You know, because Jesus is saying, "I'm going there. I'm going to prepare a place for you." You know, by the way, listening audience, let that give you hope today that God is preparing a place for you, not just in heaven, but right now. The word says that a person's gifts make room for them. And so when you begin to really realize that God's got a place for you, whatever ministry or church or whatever that you're involved with, God has a place for you. He has something for you to do. Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going and we don't know, you know, how to get there." And Jesus said, and I love John 14:6. It's one of the I am's because there's a lot of I am statements. The book of John is full of I am statements, Nan. There, I am. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life."
Right.
Can you think of another one? There's one right there in John 14:6.
Well, there's one in 14:6. There's one in 14:20.
Right. Yes. Yes.
They're kind of scattered throughout
They're
there.
They're scattered all through the book of John.
You can find them throughout there.
I am the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. I am the vine. You are the branches.
Right.
I am the good shepherd. Just all kinds of them right through there. It's just great. I am the way, the truth, and the life is what John 14:6 says. The way, the truth, and the life. And last week I was teaching on the kingdom of God, and it says in Romans 14, 17 that the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the 30, 60, 100 levels in God. And last week when we were teaching on the kingdom of God, that it starts with righteousness, us beginning to understand right standing with God. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand? And we get the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so that's that 30-fold realm where salvation. And then we move on to that 60-fold realm, righteousness, peace, where we begin to really understand that God wants us to walk in peace. He doesn't want us to walk in agitation and distress. This is why Jesus could boldly start chapter 14 with, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, you don't allow that distress, that agitation. And when the devil tries to put that on us, we have to fight that, don't we?
Yes, and it can be very trying. And a lot of times we're agitated because something's been done to us and because we think we were right in the situation. And the thing is, we may have been right in the situation.
Right.
Is how we respond back to those situations and how we deal with them. And we need to lean to God to help us
Absolutely.
Go through those things that are agitating us.
Exactly.
And we have to pray about it. I mean, I have had some things that I've had to pray about at various times that were of agitation to me.
Yes.
But it's like, I don't want to hold on to that because it's just detrimental.
Why not?
It's
Why
detrimental
not?
To me. You know, I don't want that stuff.
Yeah, but Nan, a lot of people hold on to their junk because they feel entitled to hang on to their unforgiveness or their despair or their self-pity or their depression. They feel entitled. Oh, well, I deserve to feel this way. After all, so-and-so did this and did that.
Also, part of it, they do feel the entitlement. They also, it has become such a way of life for them that
is actually part of them,
although it's not really part of them.
Right.
But it's kind of part of them because that's what they've had in the way they've maybe reacted to things for 20 years. And they don't want to let it up.
They
like
don't
you say,
let
because
it up.
Entitlement, they don't want to let it go.
Well, and some people, and maybe we'll talk more about this when Carol comes on, but a lot of people feel so beat up by their life, their circumstances, everything that's happened to them, that it's almost pity party time. I kind of touched on this morning.
Yes,
and
did.
I really feel like the devil tries his best to beat us up with self-pity, for us to feel sorry for ourselves when things are not going the way we think they should. And that's not walking in truth, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So the way corresponds to that 30-fold realm of salvation where we understand, oh, wow, Jesus is the way to heaven, the way to salvation. Jesus is the way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's in that order for a reason. It's the 30, 60, 100-fold realm, because at the 30-fold realm, we just begin to understand that Jesus is the way. He's
right.
the way to heaven. He's the way to those dwelling places that John's writing about here, that Jesus taught on, that let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Mm-hmm. That we have a future and a hope, which Jeremiah talks about, that God is not abandoning us. The grave is not the end of life. It is not. It may be the end of our physical life in our physical body, but it's not the end of our lives. And that's interesting concept, but that's the truth.
Right.
And so Jesus said here that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? Those three parts. And that 30-fold realm is where we understand Jesus as our Savior, our Lord and our Savior. And then as we begin to grow in him, we get to that level where we begin to understand truth from right here in God's Word. We want to understand what Jesus is saying here in the book of John. We want to get this truth down on the inside of us. Why is it so important to get the truth down there?
Well, it needs to be there so we can proceed forward as God would like to see us. And,
and
as we really need to, I mean, okay, I'm a Christian. I go forward. I need to go forward walking in that kind of life.
But so many times, Nan, there's people who absolutely get the salvation experience and they're content to stop right there. We know people like that. We all know people like that, that they just, they get saved and that's it. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to learn to worship God. They don't want to go experience new things in the Spirit. They're content. and to stay right there with their salvation experience.
I would also venture to say they don't want any type of, they've committed their life to the Lord, but they don't want any type of commitment. To make to him. You know,
right.
I don't want to have to go to church today. I don't want to go to Bible study.
Right.
Wednesday. Whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing or should be doing, you don't want to do it because you refuse to commit to have that level of dedication.
Right.
You know, I mean, as we spend more and more time with the Lord, I just fall in love with what was happening in service this morning.
Yes.
You know, just fall more and more in love with him.
Yes.
And we do that as we move forward and do the things that he asks us to do.
Right.
You know, there's a special relationship bond that goes on.
Because
him.
We begin to realize that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then John 3:17 says, for Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we begin to understand that it's more than just that salvation experience where we ask Jesus into our heart to forgive our sins. It is also that growing up in God where we begin to understand truth, that we are not so susceptible to the ways of the devil, the way the devil gets in and tries to lie. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but we have a great radio show, and I think you were a part of it, back the first week, I think, of June of 2011. It's on our website. It's about truth versus lies. Mm-hmm. And you've listened to it a couple times.
Yes.
And it's a great way to understand that God is all about truth. What he says to you in his word about you is truth. You can take it to the bank. What the devil says about you, like, oh, you're never going to amount to anything. You're not very spiritual after all. I mean, and the devil starts putting you down maybe about things you've done in your past that were sins, that were not pleasing to the Lord. The devil comes in to condemn. The devil comes in to kill, steal, and destroy, right?
Yes, most definitely.
Yes. And so we get to a place where we learn that we've got to go further with God and get to this, the way, the truth, the life. And the truth is when we begin to say, okay, God, teach me your truth. I want to hear what you have to say to me. You know?
You just need to be teachable. Like
teachable.
You just said.
I mean, it's huge.
Just teachable.
Oh.
But it is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. You know? There again, it requires dedication and commitment in that.
Right.
The rewards are fantastic.
how so, Nan? How so?
To be able to lay down with peace on your heart.
Yes.
And to be able to put your head on your pillow and know that you've done what he desired you to do that day, or that you know that you spent time with him.
Right.
And I mean, it's just a blast spending time with him.
Oh. So
I just by yourself in a place, you know, sometimes people can't necessarily be by themselves. I am able to do that right now. And, you know, just to be home and just spend the time with him is very special, special time right now.
Talking
for me.
To him and hearing him talk back, because we've been teaching this whole concept for weeks now about learning to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And as we open our hearts. That's why we opened this show today with Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, because as that is our prayer, as that is our attitude, that we really want to see Jesus and what he means in our lives, he takes us from that 30-fold realm where it's just about getting saved and knowing you're saved and walking in right standing with God. He takes us to that next level, that 60-fold realm where we begin to really seek truth and peace. And we want that more than anything else. We want truth.
Right.
We don't want to give in to the lies of the devil. Go ahead.
Well, you're talking about the song that we opened with, you know, the Holy Spirit so leads Connie in these songs.
It's
pretty cool to see that happen.
Yes.
But I've heard the song dozens and dozens of times. I mean, you know, throughout the years. Open the Eyes of My Heart. It just took a whole new meaning on to me today as we played that. The eyes of my heart. The eyes of my heart, which is what that says, but it took on new meaning for me today.
I want to see Jesus in all his glory. You know, I want to see you, Lord, that the truth and what that means. And really what that means, dear listening audience, is that we begin to really desire the word, because the word is truth. Okay. John 1:14 says, the word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And then this last few words, full of grace and truth. What is Jesus full of? He's full of grace, which is God's unmerited favor, and he's full of truth. So when you begin to seek God and say, all right, I'm not content to stay at that 30-fold realm. I want to go on. I want to experience more of God. I want to grow up in God. And when you get to that point, things begin to change in your life, do they not, Nan?
Oh, boy, do they change.
you want to amplify on that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I've been around in church all my adult life and teenage life, so basically my life. Yeah. And
you've been a leader in church,
I've been
too,
a leader in church, yeah,
yes.
Leadership there for quite some time. But it's just wanting to learn more and more. I mean, I have learned more, and I have been more challenged since attending Beacon of Hope than ever before in the entire life of ministry, whether I was ministering or not. I mean, just the teaching is so rich, and I do desire more of him.
Amen.
And that's
you don't
what
want to stay
teach.
In the same place, do you?
No, I don't want to stay in the same place. I just want to continue to grow in him and to be used of him to minister to others.
Right.
Is a heartthrob. But, just to get closer and closer to him is so special.
Absolutely.
It's so special.
And you move into a desire. You develop a desire for truth in your life.
Yes.
You want to understand what God's word is saying to you as it pertains to your daily life. And I love how John 14 starts out. Let not your heart be troubled. You don't let it be troubled. Okay?
Yep.
We are the ones that can control that. We can fall into agitation and stress and anxiety and worry and fear. We all have to battle these things. We can so easily fall into those things so easily. And we got to get to the point where we let not our hearts be troubled. We do that. We let not our hearts be troubled, right?
Well, we need to grasp onto that and hold on to that. As,
right.
You know, as you're saying it, you know, let not your hearts be troubled. That Jesus is saying that.
Yes.
You know, he's saying that to us in a comforting way that we don't have to.
Right.
I mean, and not to minimize things that people go through, because we certainly know that we deal with issues that occur in our life that are challenging.
Right.
But not to minimize from that. I mean, not to make it any less, but with Christ there, let not your heart be troubled. If you can really grasp on to that that saying, if you just really grasp on to that, it can help you in your situation of what you're dealing with, whatever's happening. It can really help you when
it can
you
help
realize
you get across
Jesus
that
Jesus is saying,
yes.
Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart
be
troubled.
Don't do it. And, in other words, that implies that we have the authority and the right to stop the harassment, the agitation, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the stress. We have that right. The authority. God has given us that, and we have to learn how to exercise that authority.
Claim
you know what I'm saying?
We got to claim it.
We got to claim it. Carol, are you on the air with us from Georgia?
Yes, I am.
Hey.
Hey, Carol.
Hello.
Hey, we've been chatting a little bit about this chapter and how important this is, because this, in the beginning of John 14, Jesus is setting the stage for him to introduce the important concept of the Holy Spirit coming to live on the inside of us. It's a powerful passage, isn't it?
It's a very powerful event to take place, and one that I don't think you'll ever forget when it's happened to you.
Right.
It's a life-changing event.
Right.
I wrote a little thing in 508, and it says, as my presence of the Holy Spirit became more and more magnified, I'm standing in the presence of holy angels, and I stand amazed.
Right. Amen. 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 And we've got to get to that point that we are amazed at what God is doing in our lives. We're amazed at what he wants to do, and we fall in line. We come into agreement. I think it's interesting here that Thomas says, we have no clue where you're going. We don't know what's going on. We don't know anything. And Jesus is so clear here in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. And this is so important because, Carol, I think that we live in a day and age where even people's verbiage, and I mentioned this morning, has been watered down by the word the universe. And people will term the deity or the higher power as the universe. And Jesus boldly says here, people, you can't get to the Father except through Jesus.
Well, Well, so many people do not accept that. They think it's a fallacy, that they can just approach the God, if there is one in their mind,
right,
by just simply strolling up and saying, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
And that isn't the way it does at all. You know, I think we've got such lost generations right now. And being in the sixth decade of my life, I think I can speak to that. And having taught for 30 years and watched the decades of life pass through me and the different children I taught.
Right.
I think we've come to a point in our American society where we don't have much respect for anything or anybody.
I agree with you there.
And certainly not a deity that we can't see,
right,
can't touch, can't taste, can't smell, can't visualize,
right,
can't do any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a pie-in-the-sky dream for some people, and they make light of it and they laugh about it. But I will tell you this, as a woman of God,
right,
and whom the Holy Spirit dwells,
amen,
safely and comfortably,
right,
I could not go through even the first moment of my waking day without the presence of Christ in me.
I wouldn't want to, would you?
I would not. I would be scared to death. I have a friend that is Christian, by her definition, Christian. She is so fearful of every single thing.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
She won't leave the house.
Right. Exactly.
And I say to her all the time, how can you be in this kind of fear when your very life is in the hands of God?
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? To lose your fears, to lose your inhibitions about simple things.
Right.
Pray for God to send the Holy Spirit to indwell you.
Exactly. And that's huge, because I do believe that, Carol. There's a lot of well-meaning, and I say that sincerely, well-meaning Christian people out there in this world who really don't get this concept of having the truth working in our lives and drawing close to the truth, which is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and drawing close and really having that personal relationship with God to the point that it's life changing. I think a lot of people, it's been a salvation experience. They got saved years ago in church, and that's about as far as it's gone. And with that said, we have the internet up right now. You can write a comment or a question right here directly into the room with Nan and I, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, if you would like to comment on this. But Carol, back to you to comment, because I know there's a lot of people out there that struggle with fears, anxieties, worries, concerns. We all do to an extent. But those of us that are seeking the truth of God in our lives tend to catch those things quicker and say, wait a minute, I'm not going down that path. I'm not going down that road of fear today, you know?
And I think part of it, as I'm sure this conversation will go deeper into this particular realm, but I think a large part of it is being able to have discernment, which is a gift.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, to be being able to discern what is real, what is not real,
right,
what is the world trying to say to you to scare you away,
exactly,
from that right relationship that God wants with you. You know, Jesus tells me, you can ask me for anything,
right,
in my name, and I will do it.
I will do it. Right.
You know, and that's true. Anything you need, anything you want, if you ask him in his name, believe in him, trust in him, it will come to pass.
Actually, we are going to talk about those verses after the song that we're going to do next, because that is critical here to really growing in God. Because, Carol, I think a whole lot of people absolutely get bogged down in their lives by thinking, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, I've always been like I am. I inherited all this tendency towards worry and fear from grandma and my aunt and my mom and blah, 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 blah. And they accept things that, and I'll say we accept things sometimes that we should not accept in our lives, but under the guise that the devil throws of, oh, well, that's the way I've always been. I guess I'm always going to be that way.
You know, when you're teaching, as you always do, and as the person who has taught and still continues to teach whenever I can, the collective we is always the right word to use, because otherwise the listening audience, whether it be children, college students, other adults or whatever, they tend to think if you're saying I, that you're, you know, are you, that
right.
you're not talking about yourself so much.
Right.
But we have to include ourselves.
Absolutely,
in whatever
we
say to people. Because
yes.
we went through it. We're going through it. We've experienced a lot of it. We're still experiencing it.
Yeah.
And we're in grace if we continue to stay that way.
Absolutely, Carol. That's a good point. We are not pointing a finger at our listening audience today and saying you. We're saying we all struggle with these things, these fears, these agitation. I mean, Jesus is talking to the disciples here in John 14:1. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He is not just saying, okay, this is only for the Pharisees. I'm now going to speak this only for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that are not really walking in the Spirit. No, he's addressing this John 14:1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, to all of us and his disciples right here. He's saying, come on, guys, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Go ahead.
And I think we tend to put ourselves into a position at times that we feel like we can do anything and we're invincible. And this God character that the universe wants to maybe admit is there and maybe not, because we just know that God is universe. And I think a lot of times those folks do not want to face the reality that there is someone greater
person, yes.
in them than they are in themselves.
Absolutely.
If and that makes sense to you.
It totally makes sense. And that's why the word universe gets under my skin, because let's acknowledge who this is.
That's right. My words are God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity.
Right.
That's who our higher power should be.
Yeah,
and, you know, oftentimes
right?
when people, you mention those to people in circumstances that they might have asked you questions or asked you to pray for them or something, you can watch them get a little bit squeamish when say the words, God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit.
No, they're okay with higher power. Now, and I'm not in any way criticizing the AA program or Al-Anon or CODA or anything like that. I am very much for that. We are very supportive of that program. But I'm just saying, and I can do that boldly on the air here, that the higher power in your life should be God the Father, God the Son,
right.
and God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Not just a term, not just something that has no personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has personality. He's real.
You know, sometimes I think we go overboard in trying to be objective to everybody's thoughts. Objective.
Yes.
You know, we're objectifying their interest in their deity, whoever, whatever it might be. We don't want to say the words because that might offend somebody.
Right.
Well, you know, I have a friend who's an evangelist, and she says this song, does it beautifully. I'm not afraid of Jesus Christ.
Oh, amen.
I am not
amen.
Afraid to say the word
Woo.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Exactly, Carol. And we just have to get to that point. Nan, you wanted to comment on what Carol was saying.
We're talking about higher power.
Yes.
And certainly a lot of the programs that you use that term, just as you said, we're absolutely supportive of.
Sure.
But I had a friend of mine who is an alcoholic, and we wound up going to AA meetings together. And every time I would hear the term higher power, I would cringe inside,
right.
you know, and we would have discussions about it later about higher power. Well, I'll let my mother be my higher power, or I'll let, you know, and so
right.
whatever I pick is my higher power. And
right.
Like,
that's
okay.
the thinking, yeah.
you know, that's what the friend of mine did. But, you know, inside I knew and
right.
know who the true higher power is. And it's just
Jesus.
Not something in the universe. It's
right.
Jesus.
And I love this right here where Jesus says, look, you cannot get to the Father except through me. Guys, it's all through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus. Okay? We don't care about being politically correct here. You know? We are being
and
biblically
my friend,
correct.
So with that song, the song is basically, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
And I'm not, you know, and I don't think either of the two,
song.
I know neither of the two of you are. And
no.
we three can boldly proclaim to anybody that comes to us, that surrounds us with conversation or questions or naysayers, we can boldly stand there and in total grace say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Oh, Carol, I'm glad you brought that verse up. I'm going to turn to it. It's Romans 1:16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I love Romans 1:16 and 17. Thanks for bringing that up, Carol. Great verses.
To say that I live by faith, that is such a powerful statement that you can dissect in so many different ways.
Right.
It's an exciting statement to say, I live by faith.
I live by faith.
It's not a trite statement, is it, Nan?
Oh, most definitely not, Carol. Not trite at all.
What do you think about when you say, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
I know I'm living the best way I could possibly live. That's by faith. I believe.
Right.
I simply believe.
By faith, you know that you are covered in His grace.
Yes. Amen.
You are covered in His mercy.
Yeah.
You are covered in His love. And isn't that a wonderful experience?
Oh, amen.
Most definitely.
We got to go to...
By faith, we know that. Somebody
right.
says, well, what do you mean by faith? Can you show it to me? I can live it for you.
Right,
there
exactly.
You go, Carol.
There you go. And so, this next song we're going to do, Come As You Are by Pocket Full of Rocks. I love the name of that group, Pocket Full of Rocks. But Come As You Are, and that's what God says to each of us today.
He's not mad at you. And He's not disappointed. His grace is greater still than all of your wrong choices. He is full of mercy, and He is ever kind. Here is invitation, His arms are open wide. You can come as you are.
Pastor and Carol, Come As You Are, that is such an awesome song. I've never heard that song before.
It's a gorgeous song.
But what came to my mind, Come As You Are, I'd been in church a long time, and I was out of church for several years because of the pain from someone in the church.
Right.
And Come As You Are, I just came back. I started coming to Beacon, just right. God ordained. We know that, but the way it came about. But I just, Come As You Are. I mean, I came back to him.
Right.
With brokenness.
Yes.
With issues.
Right.
Just with stuff.
Yeah.
And he just simply said, Come As You Are.
Right.
You know, it was right there. It was all okay. You know, and of course we work on those things and he helps us with those things. But that really ministered to be open. Just
praise
say, Come
God.
As You Are. Just come as you are. And I did.
Yes.
And I've seen so much that he's done in my life as I've been willing to. But so much he's done in my life and the healing that he has done in my life. And I don't cry out of sadness. I cry out of joy.
Yes, yes.
That's what it's out of.
Came with
joy.
A willing heart.
That's true.
You know, you knew that you had reached the end. And I don't, you know, I can't speak to this as Pastor can. But you knew you came to the end of the rope that you were hanging on
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step for you, like all of us who have come so needy and who have come so empty and so broken by what humanity has done to us with the careless spoken words, the bullying that just is nonstop, and the words that just wound you to the very depths of your soul. You know, when you realize that you've done everything on earth by yourself that you possibly can do, and you come to that rope where you're just trying to hang on, and that thread breaks, you don't fall to the ground and go crash, boom, and you are lifted up. You are held in his arms,
yes,
in his hands, and he says, in you, my child, I find worthiness. In you, my child,
amen,
I find a servant. In
yes,
you, my
yes,
child, I find a waiter, a person willing to wait on others.
Mm,
you will
right,
be my waiter. You will wait on others in my name. You will serve and answer the call of Christ that I'm giving you right now.
Amen.
You heard that call, Nan, when you were at a desperate point by your own admission in your life, when you said, I'm tired. I can't go on this way. Whatever the way was, whatever the hurting parts were, he has taken them from you. And I offer you this. Lord, I will lift mine eyes to the hills, knowing my help is coming from you.
Lord.
Your peace you give me in time of the storm. You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. I lift my hands in total praise to you. You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. I lift my hands in total praise to you.
Mm.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-mm.
And you are redeemed. Anything and everything that might have been in your past that was hurtful, people who tried every way they could to destroy you by physical means or words or actions or deeds, those people do not sit in the place that you're sitting.
Right.
Jesus speaks to you. He's not speaking to those people and saying, hey, guess what I'm going to tell Nan today, guys? Everybody gather around. He speaks words for you. He speaks words of healing. He speaks words of strength. He speaks words of truth. He speaks words of love and confidence. And he does this for every person out there who just heard your testimony, Nan.
Amen, Carol. That was right on what you're saying there. It's exactly right. And because, Nan, you humbled yourself and came back to the place that God wanted you to be, then you are growing like crazy because you're seeking him on a daily basis. And our listening audience needs to grasp this because it's not okay to run away from God. We need to run to God and let him do the fresh work in us that needs to be done. Did you want to comment on what Carol just said? That was beautiful, Carol.
That was very beautiful, Carol. Thank you.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Just...
That didn't come from me, by the way.
Yeah, that's Holy Spirit.
And we sense that,
yes,
Carol. All right.
Yeah.
we need to have the willingness. And you just said something about, you know, something that we do day by day.
Right.
It's not just go to church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and radio show sometimes and whatever. It's, you know, day by day, you know, during the day, in the evening, in the morning, whenever it is, you know, it's a continual walk. It's a continual yearning.
Yeah.
It's a continual desire.
It's a process, and it's a daily thing.
Right.
Come as you are. I love that because, you know, we're just saying, God is saying to us, okay, I don't expect you to be perfect. I don't expect you to have it all worked out. I don't expect you to have all your issues all taken care of. And we were talking this morning about how Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, mm-hmm. and that is what it's all right. about. It's what it's all about.
You know, yeah. Nan, with your permission, let's take your name out of it and put Billy. Let's put Jane. Let's put Ezra. Let's put Jose. Let's put Jamal.
Yeah.
Let's put Ruby.
Right.
Those are people out there
right.
who heard your confession
right.
of needing Christ and finding a place to come home.
Yes.
And you, by your testimony right there, have given those people out there with names that I just named, Doris and Bobby and Arthur, all of those people who were listening and saying, I fell apart at the song too. I did not know that Christ loved me. And Jesus tells us mm-hmm. in John 16:33, I've told you these things
yes.
so that in mm-hmm. me you may have peace.
Ooh.
In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And you are who you are today because you are a receptive child of the risen Christ.
Amen. And
in whom
that's
the
right.
Holy Spirit dwells in peace.
That's it right there. And we've got to get to that point. We talked about it last week on the anniversary show. We've got to come to the point where, you know, peace is ruling in our lives. And we desire peace more than we desire the junk of the past and more than the turmoil that the devil would try to put on us or the worry or the fear or the anxiety. We've got to desire that peace and we've got to desire that truth. And when we are moving towards peace and truth, which is the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I came to give you peace. You know, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. You know, all of that. It's all about his peace, you know, that he gives us. And we've got to be moving towards that.
It's a remarkable thing.
Yes.
To feel inside your soul that it's not rumbling and stirring and festering and being overridden by junk that people throw, by what the world has, the sinful nature of humankind. It is not, you're not being ruled that way. You're being brought to the peaceful, serene river, the river of life,
Amen.
Given by the Holy Father. You are at that serene place in that river, and he is sitting down with you, shoulder to shoulder, and saying to you, my child, this is what I have given to you. I've given you peace like this river flowing here. I've given you the green part of life, which says to you, you can take my message further and further. Be the green part of living, the living water that you're going to give to other people that I've given to you. And rest in me. Your serenity lies within your relationship with me. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Amen. And that's exactly right on. And the whole thing that we were trying to stress this morning at Beacon of Hope, and we are right now, is that there is no substitute for an active relationship with Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus is the key. God the Father sent Jesus to this earth to show us what the Father was all about. And to speak these words of life. So when we hear, I love Jeremiah 15:16, one of my favorite verses, Nan, because she keeps track of my favorite verses. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16. I love that. I'm going to say it one more time because this is what we have to get to, listening audience. We got to get to that point that we want these words. We want this relationship with Jesus more than we want our anxiety, our fear, our anger, our self-pity, our self-destructive thoughts, that we want Jesus, a relationship with Jesus more than all of that. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found. And I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I love that verse, because we got to get to that point, Carol.
That's true. If we do not eat the living manna fallen from heaven, the words of God through his Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, if we don't take that in daily as nourishment for our bodies, as nourishment for our souls, as nourishment for our spirit, then we too will become of the world. and we will be in it in the darkness. We don't want that. Those of us who are seeking the brighter part of life and life eternal know that we have got to indwell our bodies with the words, the acts, the deeds of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I love John 14:21. My eyes just fell on it as you were saying this, Carol. In the Message Bible, the person who loves and knows my commandments and keeps them, this is the words of Jesus, John 14:21, that's the one who loves me. Okay, what did Jesus say here? The one who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. I think the world is full of delusion of people that are looking for an answer, looking for peace, looking for joy, looking for purpose in their life. And they're missing the fact that it's all found. Nan, I want you to respond to this, and we'll go to Carol after that. It's all found in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
It's so simple, yet people make it so complicated.
They make it so complicated.
It's just...
It's not found in the universe. It's found right here in the Word of God.
Exactly.
It's found in Jesus.
The living Word.
And when we begin to understand the Word of God and fall in love with Jesus, our lives change. Carol, give us a comment on that before we go to station ID in a minute.
Well, I'm looking at chapter 15 of John. I think it's verse about 15 or 16, and it says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit."
Right.
"Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And this is commandment, to love each other.
Right.
We have to love each other whether we want to or not. We can disagree with somebody, but in the spirit of Christ living in us,
right,
we've got to love the Christ in that person.
Right.
Sometimes
yes,
we have to look a little bit hard to find it. But you know what I have found in my experience in life and working with people who seek a relationship with God? The reasons that they have kind of an ornery, many of the reasons, kind of an ornery, abrasive type lifestyle or personality is because they don't know how to open the door. They don't have the key to the door of the realm of heaven.
That's exactly
right.
When
we hand them that key, which is the living word of Jesus Christ in Scripture, when we hand them that word and we hand them the love of Jesus for us through to them, it breaks down their barriers.
It's exactly right, and that's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't say, "Oh, some great philosopher is the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't say that some prophet, Jeremiah or Isaiah or John the Baptist, was the way, the truth, and the life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So listening audience, the things that you are struggling with right now, God has an answer for you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to continue in turmoil, anxiety, stress, and fear, and worry, and all of that. God has an answer for you. Jesus is your answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we've got to get that down on the inside of us, and we've got to accept that Jesus is all of that for us. This may be new for some of you in our listening audience, too, for us to be stressing the importance of a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you are one of these that's always just, had a higher power, but has not really had Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what this teaching today and this show is all about. We got another full hour right now of Living the Good Life station identification.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
Praise God. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. If you're just now joining us, it's the second hour live here in Tampa, actually Clearwater, Florida. And we are on the air here on 1340 AM, and that also is fed live into some stations in other states. And we're on the web. So, if you're in the area and you want to catch us on the web, tantalk1340.com, www.tantalk1340.com. And another thing, Nan, that I think is fantastic is that now we are able to have all of our shows up on our website within a couple of days after each show. Don't you think that's cool?
It's cool. I have, on occasion, maybe if you're having problems sleeping or whatever.
right. It's a great thing.
You know,
right?
I mean, but it's not. It's, you feel comforted. I mean, to hear the talks from the
yes.
previous shows and
right.
you kind of go through and kind of pick a topic because they're listed there by topic and by who was on them.
Right.
But listed by topic. You can kind of pick a topic and just start all over listening to it. And it's just, you know, it's just really
it's a fantastic tool
of ministry.
It really is. And we're proud now to be starting our sixth year today. Mm. And it's all about Jesus and our relationship with him. And we have a prayer ministry. Carol, do you want to mention that real quick here about prayers at
beaconofhopeministries.com?
Yes.
Yes. It's an important part. I really was telling someone the other day who had asked me if the church would pray for them, and I said, we certainly shall. The amazing, miraculous events that take place through the power of prayer, through the prayer team at Beacon of Hope, and everyone who receives those prayers, and then passing them on to friends of theirs, church members of theirs, those prayers have changed lives in mighty, mighty ways.
Amen.
From death's door to
yes.
an abundant life.
Absolutely.
From fear to joy.
Right.
From depression and hopelessness to a bright, shining star in the heavens where Jesus has placed them.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And the first thing you need to do is simply write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com and put your prayer request on there. I write a large majority of those prayers. I do not use last names unless it's okay to do so, but I just put like Cindy prayer for whatever.
Right.
And send it out.
Right.
I try to include the person's prayer, then search scripture to make sure that the right scripture is being placed with that prayer.
Right, and you do a great job.
It is a
yeah.
tremendous tool.
It is.
And I know Pastor Jim writes a lot of the prayers.
Right.
He does mostly, I think, the evening time.
Right.
And, you know, I'm available 24/7 to do whatever I need to do. And sometimes I'm awakened without cause to come in and write a prayer.
Right.
Someone who's been placed in my mind, in my spirit, even as I sleep. So please, turn yourself to prayer. When you don't know what you can do and the world is too big and you're overcome by it, it behooves you to go to another one like yourself, and say, Lord, I can't do it by myself. Can you show me a prayer partner? Can you pray with me? Can you direct me and guide me?
Amen, Carol. And, you know, people don't have to be a part of Beacon of Hope Ministries to be on the prayer team. You can just write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com and ask to be put on the prayer team. Then every time one of these requests come, and sometimes it's several a day, and sometimes
oh, yes.
we go a day or two and we don't have one, but it is, as you said, it stretches out to family, friends, coworkers around the world. We have to get the requests in, and we are very, very diligent to pray for those needs. And it's a way for you to get involved as an intercessor and a prayer warrior. Nan, hasn't that been a blessing in your life as you've prayed these things?
It has.
You use this as a tool with your friends at school and everywhere, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think of one, and Carol wrote a prayer about this one, but yeah, I've called the prayer, the prayer line, you know, several times since I've been here. And one in particular, I can visually remember where I was when I was texting it because I had totally had a meltdown in my office.
Right.
And I left out.
Right.
And I walked as far as I could walk on the school property and got
right.
to the very back. And I was just texting the whole way, God, you got to help me. I mean, you got to help me. You got to
right.
help me. You got to help me. And I know the prayers of the people helped me make it through that day.
Right, exactly.
And that, or I couldn't have, I don't think I would have been able to go on that day.
Absolutely.
The way it played out. But praise God for, you know, prayers at Beacon Hope Ministry.
We've seen people healed physically, emotionally. We've seen answers to prayer financially. We've seen jobs. All of this because of the prayers of the saints. You can get involved with this by writing prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. I asked Connie to put this next song back on. We had it on Easter, but it's just been in my heart for 2 weeks. And by the way, Nan and I were commenting, we just give Connie maybe a phrase like this week it was seeing Jesus, and look at how the music fits because that's the Holy Spirit. She waits on God to get the right songs. Here it is, I've Just Seen Jesus by Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty.
We knew he was dead, it is finished, he said.
Joseph begged for his body that day.
It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I just see.
Praise God. I love that song. I've just seen Jesus, and that's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life, getting to that point in our lives where we see Jesus, where he opens himself to us, and we begin to realize that a relationship with him is vital, essential. We got to have it. We've got to spend time with Jesus. It's all about that. Nan, you have a comment, well, then we'll go to Carol.
You're talking about relationship.
Yes,
and that's exactly what it is a relationship.
Yes.
You know, when you have someone who plays that special role in your life,
right,
of being your significant other, whoever is by your side, You spend time with that person,
right,
and you develop the relationship based on spending time with that person.
Right.
If you have a friend, your friendship grows as you spend time with that individual.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it is with Jesus.
Yes.
That we need to spend time with him.
We've got
to.
And
it's so much fun to hang out with him. I mean, it really is pretty cool. You know?
It really is.
But our relationship grows and grows in him, and we grow stronger in him and with our belief system and everything as we spend time with him.
Absolutely. Carol, do you want to comment on that? We're going to John 15:1, everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, I happened to be fortunate enough to see them perform that live.
Did you? Oh.
At Carpenter's home in Lakeland, Florida. There was a concert, and they performed that live. There wasn't a dry eye in the house, I don't think.
Because it's just powerful.
We began, as that song began, you begin to feel like you have seen Jesus.
Right.
When he's in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit.
Yes.
You have seen him in people giving of themselves to you in normal, natural ways of love and care and consideration. And when you begin to feel apathy fade away and somebody beginning to express the joy of living and helping other people,
right,
to find Jesus in themselves. And when we see Jesus, we see him by giving him away, and we see him by receiving him from other people.
Absolutely. And
you
by
see,
spending
acts and
that
deeds
time
that other people do,
right,
totally without fanfare,
right,
because they feel compelled by him to be the waiters of people, the servants of people,
right,
take and him into the world where it is otherwise dark and dank and full of angst.
Absolutely. John 15:1, Jesus says, "I'm the real vine, and my Father is the farmer or the vine. He cuts off every branch of me that does bear grapes." In other words, Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener, and we are the branches. Every branch that is grape bearing or fruit bearing, he prunes back." So we go through things in our lives where we get a little pruning going on, and we start facing some of these anxieties and fears and things that we are dealing with. And God says, "Wait a minute, I want to cut that thing out of your life. I want that gone. I don't want you living with that nasty part, you know, of you." And we begin to bear more fruit. And I love in the Message Bible, John 15:4. I'll see it here in a minute. Jesus said, "Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you." In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. Dear ones, you cannot grow peace and joy and true contentment in life without the relationship with Jesus. Look at verse 5, and then I'm going to go to Carol and Nan for comments here. 5-8, "I am the vine," Jesus said. "You are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if," I love this, "if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples," this is how you get prayers answered, people. It's in relationship with Jesus. Carol, you want to comment on that?
Yes. Grapevines don't bear apples and pears and watermelons and
there
bananas.
There you go. Uh-huh.
So if we are a member of the branch that is producing fruit, we have to be a member of Jesus Christ's
right.
family.
Right.
We will produce the grapes that vine was designed to do.
Right.
We can't separate ourselves and say, "I'm going to be a part of this vine, but I'm going to grow bananas."
Right, exactly.
I'm going to grow apples.
Right.
Oh, no, I want to grow shrimp
right.
or something. We
right.
can't do that because
right.
that is not what that vine is doing.
Exactly.
Which, to me, interprets, we can't grow hate.
Right.
We can't grow bullying.
Mm-hmm.
We can't grow discord among the brethren.
Right.
That is sitting on the vine with us.
We can't if we are really in true relationship with Jesus. We want to take on his characteristics. Carol, don't you believe that?
Oh, we have to want that because
yes.
that's that is where the abundance of crops come from.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that vine and it's a grapevine, it can't produce those other fruits. But if it produces the grapes and more grapes and more grapes are cut and more grapes come, the table just overflows.
Absolutely.
Because that is what God's love does. He doesn't separate us and say, no, now you're a grape, and I love grapes, but today I want you to be an apple. He doesn't
right.
do that. He says, you're my grape, and I love you, and
exactly.
you're wonderful, and I can take you into the world and serve you to the world, which means putting out people who take his word to and fro around to everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's what we have to do.
We got to be the branch. Nan, comment on what Carol just said. That's great.
Well, talking about fruit, we're many times known by the fruit in our life.
Absolutely. By your fruit, you shall not be known. Yeah.
Of course, we're referring to a vine here, but mm-hmm. what my mind went to, pecan trees.
Yeah.
My aunt lives in southern Georgia.
Right.
And she has these beautiful pecan trees on her property.
Carol does, too. Carol
okay,
Maxine.
Great.
Yeah.
We have seven.
Yeah.
Oh, she only has three, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Three and seven.
There you go.
Yeah. When we were up there one time, and it was fruit bearing time for
right.
those pecans, we can always pick up whatever we want, and she lets us have them, just gives
sure.
them to us.
Sure.
And the one tree was producing like all get out. They had already been picking it up, and they're picking it, you know. And then the other one in the back looked about the same size as that one.
Right.
Just didn't produce well that year, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, that's what came to my mind is we're known by our fruit and what
right.
we, what fruit
you
is
wanted to hang
out
around
us.
The tree that was producing the pecans,
yeah, most
right?
definitely. That's
you wanted to hang there
absolutely.
And you wanted to get that fruit from it, right?
Absolutely.
And you see, for pecans to produce really well, Nan, they've got to have water.
Right.
And they've got to have the fertilizers. And isn't that like us? If we were a pecan tree, and using the analogy of your auntie's little pecan tree, if it's not receiving the nourishment that it needs, it will wither and die.
Exactly.
And
good stuff.
People, human beings, don't receive what they need in the way of the living water of Jesus Christ in the fertilization, which would be the fruits of the Spirit as well as all Scripture, we will wither and die. We will mm-hmm. become useless. So we would then be known by our fruits. We'd be known by non-fruitful people outside the realm of God.
And that is exactly right. I'm going back to this verse in the Message, but I'm not sure which verse it is in the NIV, but I'm just going to read it from the Message. If you make yourselves at home with me, these are the words of Jesus right here. It's someplace between verses 5 and 8. If you make yourselves at home with me, John chapter 15, and my words are at home in you, then you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Go ahead, Nan, with that comment. You got the King James.
I have the King James. It
yes,
was actually verses 7 and 8.
7 and 8. Go ahead.
If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you,
mm-hmm.
ye shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Mm-hmm. So it's all about being in tune with him and letting his words abide in us. So I propose to you that a lot of people, they get pretty stressed over, where is God? Why isn't he hearing me? A lot of times we got to abide more. We got to abide in that vine. We got to hang out in the word. We've got to really cultivate, to use a farming term, and develop our relationship with the Lord Jesus, who is the word. Carol, what do you comment on that?
Well, as any good farmer rancher knows.
And you were one, yes.
Yep, one of each. You don't do anything by yourself. You plant the seed, and then it begins to grow and nurture because you're watering it. It's in good soil. You're fertilizing it. And, you know, I've often heard you say so many times that plant your monies in Beacon of Hope.
Right.
It's good soil.
Absolutely.
It will produce the true fruit.
Absolutely.
If we plant a cantaloupe seed, it isn't going to give us a pecan tree.
Right, exactly.
But we plant what we know to be good and a good seed, and we water it, we fertilize it, we nurture it, we share the abundance that comes from it, the ministry will grow.
Yes.
Because we're doing what Christ has asked us to do. If an individual life that has been lost or strayed or maybe known Christ just gets into the presence of someone who is like Christ and wants to be a disciple of his and teach what he has taught them. When they pass out the fruit of that product, which is the love and the consideration and compassion and all of the wonderful things of Jesus, a person receiving those wants to know, where did you get it? What did you do to grow it?
Right, exactly.
How long did it take?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What did you use?
Right.
And aren't we that way?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I think we're that way. We want to be fruitful and multiply God's world.
Yes. Yes,
we
do.
And his word in other people. And as Nan was saying earlier, we have to make sure that we are planted in a place that he wants us to go.
Amen.
And grow.
Amen.
We have to hear his word.
Yes. We've got to desire it. We've got to want it. We got to love the word, you know,
yeah.
And that's
know,
what it's about.
He can calm a raging storm. He
right.
can calm any storm raging in me.
Exactly. And I think so often we just put our relationship with Jesus on a back burner. So mm-hmm. often people do just kind of get stuck after they get saved, and they don't, maybe they're not in a Bible teaching word based church that's going to help them get in the word. We continually at Beacon of Hope are trying to get you in the word yourself. That's why we say we're all reading the book of John right now. We are really striving to learn the word of God. Nan, you want to comment on that?
Well,
Carol was saying,
I was just thinking about abiding in me in
yes.
Jesus, as he was saying,
yes.
abide in me, and we abide in him in all different ways and different times, you know, throughout our day. I mean, I'm thinking, and I many times on the radio wind up managing to say something about attending church, but it's important because
right.
even we learn so much about abiding in him in
yes.
church. If you're in a Bible based, you know,
right.
church, you know,
exactly.
they can come to Beacon if they are in the area or wherever they are, they need to, you know, if they can find a church that they fit well in.
Right.
That's another way of abiding in him, is then
absolutely.
You're there and you're learning the word. He is the word. You're learning the word while you're there with your family, friends around you. That's important, church attendance.
Oh, it is. It's vitally important. It's all
but
about man, our hearts changing.
You must be saying, in all truthfulness, that we should find a church that has the integrity of Jesus Christ, that's mantra is not to discriminate, but to welcome people
right.
who are seeking
yes.
a right relationship
yes. Yes.
with Jesus Christ,
yes.
the disenfranchised people of the world.
Amen. And that's what God has called Beacon of Hope to do,
that's
because
right.
we are very eclectic in that we have different people groups. We're made up of different ethnicities. That's the word. And we have gay folks. We have straight folks. We have people from different branches of life, different professions. But it's all about that place where people can feel that they're mm-hmm. a part of the family,
right.
you know, regardless of any differences that they mm-hmm. might have, becoming
you know
a part of the family.
The big difference for Beacon of Hope from so many other churches, there's a river that flows through Beacon of Hope.
Amen.
It's the river of life, the spoken
Amen.
Word of Jesus Christ.
Amen, Carol.
And everybody has their own little cup when they walk in. If
mm-hmm.
they may walk in with no cup and no desire to drink, they're there because they came with whoever.
Yes.
Or they just were lost and they saw the door and walked in.
Right.
But before they leave, they want to ask
right.
and say to the members of the church, where's the cup?
Right.
Where do I hang my cup?
Right.
Can I get my cup each week? Could I have a pink cup? Oh, I'd much rather have a cup that is red. Or I want a blue cup.
All about just dipping into the river of life,
dipping
like you just
into
said.
It and taking it. And Nan was very right. You have to have an association with people of like mind
right.
when you are seeking a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns. We did it this morning live at Beacon of Hope. Listen to our hearts.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes. Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our heart, hear our spirit sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God. Words are not enough to tell you of our love. Just listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had a thousand years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart,
oh Lord, please listen,
hear our spirit sing. Song of praise that flows,
song of praise,
from those you have redeemed,
those you have redeemed.
And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our heart.
Praise God. When words are not enough. Oh, I love that. What an awesome God you are.
Awesome God. I
tell you, all heaven came down during that song today at Beacon of Hope, didn't it? Listen to our hearts.
And I love what Madeline does with the drum at the end. The heartbeat.
Yes, the heartbeat of God. It's just great.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, verse 11 of John 15. I've told you these things. This is Jesus talking. For a purpose, that my joy might be your joy. Jesus wants us to learn these principles, Nan and Carol, so that we have the joy of the Lord. That becomes our strength. That your joy wholly mature. In other words, God doesn't want us to just have a little bit of giddy happiness once in a while. He wants us to walk in true joy. We've been talking about it. The kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, we taught it last week on the air. Go to last week's show if you didn't get a chance to hear it and catch up. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the 30, 60, 100-fold realm. It's righteousness, peace at that 60 realm, and then really learning to experience God's joy. That's what it's all about. And Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you want to comment on that, Nan, before we go to Carol?
Joy. I was off for medical leave here at the end of the year for a while and got to spend a lot of time with the Lord during that period. One of the things, it was, in Nehemiah, and you could tell where, I can't tell where, but where it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Nehemiah 8:10.
A joy of the Lord is your strength. And it was like the Lord dealt with me, and I may have said something about peace on last week, so I'm not sure.
Go ahead.
But I went ahead, and I felt he said, just find every scripture where it says joy in the Bible.
Right.
So I went to one of the websites that you can go to find that, search for joy.
Right.
Copied all those verses into a Word document, edited it, because it would say before, after, whatever. You edited everything out except that particular verse, and would just read them.
Right.
And just read. And then if one particular one really stuck with you, then go to the passage and read all the passage around that.
Right.
And it was pretty powerful, because joy was the word in November, and then here in March, the word was peace. He had me to look up all the words in peace, and that's what I'm doing is reading peace scriptures. But, you know, it is just, I mean, that your joy might be full. I mean,
that your joy may be full.
Joy, I mean, with joy, you can go through what you have to go through with having the joy of the Lord. And because the word does say the joy of the Lord is our strength.
It's our strength. There's an old hymn we used to sing in church when I was growing up as a kid. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Yeah. Woo!
We did that too.
Did you do that? He's joy. He's our joy. Carol, you want to comment on the joy of the Lord?
I think the joy of the Lord is what really gives Christians their peaceful heart, their serenity.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you are able to, like Nan said, and I think Nan has a wise idea to do that, to look through, and especially when you're looking for a commandment for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What must I do today? What must I do this week? What must I do? And you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to move. And if the Holy Spirit says, search everything that has joy, mm-hmm. and then use it as your mantra for the day, week, month, or whatever. I will find joy in this. I will be joyous in the presence of my Lord. All of those bring to you a sense of serenity that you won't find by doing anything else.
That's true.
That's it. Because, you know, I was reminded as you were saying that, Carol, the shepherds on the night that the birth of Jesus was announced. It's talking there about the joy that they felt and peace. You know, it's all about peace and joy. And they were so excited. They ran to Bethlehem to find the Savior, the baby Jesus, you know. And when we begin to walk in that kind of joy, it's so true that Nehemiah says, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. As we begin to walk in that joy, our lives change. So that's why I love John 15:11, I've told you these things for a purpose. Now, these are the words of Jesus, that my joy might be your joy and your joy might wholly mature. Nan, you want to comment on that before we get back to Carol?
Well, I have a Thompson chain, and one of the reference things they have on the site is spiritual fullness.
Spiritual fullness for joy.
For joy.
Okay.
The joy was promised and spiritual fullness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Woo. Absolutely. Carol, you want to comment on joy? Joy, joy. I got peace. I got joy.
I'd like to comment about the shepherds running. I don't think there's anything, if you're a shepherd or a keeper of animals, that makes you more joyous than to see the birth of a new animal, whatever it is that you're holding.
That's true.
So they would understand the joy and the peace and the serenity that would come from this child being born.
Right.
What it would mean to them as shepherds is that, you know, there's a power behind a birth of anything, actually, or a hatching of a bird that we human beings cannot control, cannot do, cannot create, and to find the joy of something living.
Right.
A joy of a new sheep, a joy of a new duck that's hatched, the joy of the Savior of the world.
Right.
Coming into, and if we would just have the lack of self to be able to run to the stable.
Amen.
And see that child as that infant, as we read about him in the scriptures, as we can visualize him being born there, then we would realize the joy that is going to provide hope for our world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about getting to that place where we realize that in our relationship with Jesus and these shepherds seeking the birth of Jesus, when we begin to understand and really take it in, that we can be that way. We can be joyful. I just, when you were saying that, Carol, reminded me of Psalm 21. It's a Psalm of David, and I want to read a couple verses there. Psalm 21:1. David said this, O Lord, the king, that's him, that's David, rejoices in your strength. We rejoice in God's strength because it's God's strength that gets us through difficult times in our lives. And so often we don't understand how we have the strength to get through that difficult time. Carol and Nan, as you both know, I am going through the final stages with my mother, who's soon to be in the presence of the Lord, and she is had Alzheimer's for a number of years, and now is to the point where it's very hard for her to function at all, say anything, or recognize us at all. And even though this is a painful, difficult time, there is such joy in knowing that she is soon going to be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. And that when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that he's prepared it for my mom. And she's going there. And David was talking about how my heart rejoices knowing that there is a future and a hope, you know, that we're not just tied down right here in these earthly bodies, but we're going to be released. Carol, you want to comment so I can cry? Go ahead.
Yes, I do. First of all, you know, our hearts go out to you and to your sisters and grandchildren and all the children involved, great grands now, because, you know, you have to look at it this way. And I know I can say this because I've lost my mother. Maxine's lost her mother recently. We don't look at it as a death here. We look at it as a reliving, a new life in Jesus
Christ. Amen.
Amen. And while it's painful, it is also the joy and the hope of knowing she'll be back with your dad.
Yes.
She'll be with her favorite, some of her favorite sisters and brothers and all of that. And she will be able to rejoice.
Right.
And your strength will come because you have the love to open your hand and let her go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Your strength will come in knowing that the joy of Jesus will be when she sees his face.
Oh, absolutely. And, you
and
know,
if she could come back
yes.
and speak and say, oh, girls, oh, my goodness, you simply must continue to hope and believe and pray. He's alive.
Absolutely.
He's alive.
You know, the other day, I was in a room. She didn't know me, and she couldn't really talk. But I just sat there a couple days ago, Carol, and I just sang Jesus Loves Me to her, you know? And I sang it to her, Jesus loves you, this I know. And even though she couldn't talk and carry on a conversation, she was able to mouth a couple of those words. And I could see, even though she couldn't say them, she was trying to mouth, Jesus loves me.
Yes.
You know, and it just reminded me that after all of her 88 years, the essence of life is that she will soon be in those dwelling places with Almighty God. She'll be there for all eternity. And she's been a faithful servant to the Lord, you know.
And he recognizes that totally and completely. You know, when my father was lying in the hospital in Winter Haven, Florida, with a massive, massive heart attack and was ready to cross the other side, I knew he was hanging on. And hanging on just in that stubbornness of afraid that that he needed to know that everything and everybody around him was going to be okay.
Right.
And I walked over to him and leaned down, and Maxine and I both, and we said, we love you, Pop.
Right.
And I said to him, as I held his hand, I said, it is time for you to go home.
Right.
Welcome home, servant of God.
Amen.
Mm. You know, good child. And at that time, we both knew there was a peacefulness that came across his face. It wasn't that he needed permission from us, but he needed to know that we would be excited for him to be in the presence of the Holy God. And we were able to do that and let him go. And the same thing with Maxine's mother a month ago. To know that good and faithful servant
right.
was there with all of her brothers and sisters
Granny
and her
May.
Mom and dad and and her, you know, her husband, because her husband had passed away, and she missed him terribly, just like your mother misses your dad. But the joy of it is there is a living God waiting for us.
Amen.
Who will call us home.
Absolutely.
When it's our time to go meet with him. And what we have to do is to be the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be the shepherd of our own fields.
Right.
We need to be the shepherd of our soul, of our spirit, and we need to be the shepherd to those around us that would hear and give credence to what we say about loving God, letting him live through you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You know, when you were saying all that, Carol, I was reminded of Psalm 16, starting with verse 7. Again, these are words of David. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Dear listening audience, because God, when you set the Lord right there before you, like David did, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Then when you're going through life's difficult moments, like my sisters and I and our families are right now, when you have God right there before you, look what happens. Look at verse 9 of Psalm 16. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One to see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God wants us to learn to accept life. Sometimes we have to accept life on life's terms, and it's kind of hard sometimes when things happen that are hurtful. But God says to us, just relax and know that he is making known to us the path of life, and we are to learn to be the light to this world, to those around us, so that they have hope when they feel there is no hope. Listen to this song by New World Sun, Learning to Be the Light.
When the stars came crashing down in tiny pieces to the ground, I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around and caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know. And now everything is falling into place. A brand new life is calling and I owe it all to grace. It's so much fun living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, melted with advice. No one wants to listen to a list of things they shouldn't do. So I build a city on a hill and I light a candle on the sill, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh God, I just want to love on everyone. All I have is yours to give. So let the people come. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. The shadows hide, the light that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame.
I'm learning to be the light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Nan, that is what he promised us. We would have the light of life to get through the tough times in our lives that we all go through. Whatever area it is that our listening audience is going through the hard times. Maybe it's a physical problem out there for some of you right now. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe some of you are going through the death of a parent or have recently lost somebody. Whatever those areas are in our lives that are hurtful, that are difficult, and we struggle with, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and if you really follow me, you will never walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. Nan, comment on that, and then we'll go to Carol.
It's just powerful to know that we can know him in that way.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
That as we're dealing with difficult times
right.
and you know, things that go on in our lives.
Right.
He is the light.
He is.
He is the light. He is there.
Right.
He's there with you, regardless of what's happening. He is the
He's
light
there.
Showing you, the light showing you the
right.
way. Of the way that you need to go and dealing with whatever you have to deal with.
Absolutely. Carol, you want to comment on that?
There was a thing on the floor at my college in Ocala, Florida Community College, when I first attended there. And it simply said, 'tis better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Mm.
The candle that I have chosen to light is the love of Jesus Christ in my heart.
Amen.
He is the candle in the wind for me.
Mm-hmm.
He is the train light that you see at the very end of the tunnel. I keep my focus on him, him being the light of the world and the guiding light of my life.
Right.
And that candle has never gone out.
Right.
Train light has never dimmed. And his light surrounding me and holding me in his peace, his mercy, and his grace has never darkened.
Amen.
So I lit my candle, and I will try to light other candles off my
right.
own candle.
Amen. That's
so that
what it's all
about.
We don't
have to curse the darkness.
Right. And
fear
we,
the darkness. But that we
exactly.
can walk in the light and the love of Jesus Christ today, tomorrow, and always and forever.
And that means that we have something to give away. You know, we yes. have something that we can show. Growing up in Central America as a missionary's kid, in the lights would go off every night around 7 or 8 o'clock, which is crazy. They were only on a few hours a day, and you had to do whatever you did during that time. There wasn't. You know, the lights didn't stay on past like 8 o'clock at night. So we each grew up, my sisters and I, carrying a flashlight everywhere we went. Because when we came out of church, we had to shine the flashlight to be able to walk through the cobblestone streets and get back home in the evening. There had to be a light that directed us, or we would step in all kinds of stuff and it would be not pretty, you know, it'd be a mess. And so, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in each of our lives, we got to be carrying God's flashlight, which is him. He's the light. He said, I am the light of the world. And he said, you're not going to stumble around in darkness. If you walk in the light of his presence, and what this show has been about today is learning to walk in the light of Jesus. I'm going to pray for our listeners right now and then come back to you, Carol and Nan, in a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we know there are people listening today and people that will later in life listen to this show on our website who are struggling in dark places in their lives. There are people out there that are physically ill, that are struggling with such massive issues and problems that they don't know where to turn. And somehow they've stumbled on this show. And Lord, today we ask by the power of your blessed Holy Spirit that you would show each one of them their need to walk in the light of God, in the light of his love, in the light of his presence, that they will actually run to you today and that they will seek you with all their heart, that they will desire the healer of their bodies, Jesus, that they will desire the healer of their broken hearts, Jesus, that they will desire a relationship with God because they need wisdom in their lives, and that is Jesus, and that they will absolutely run to you, Jesus, and pour out their lives to you and say, I need you, Lord. Maybe I never realized how much I need you, but I need you, Lord, because Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light. You are the light, Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray for our listeners right now that today would be the day that they run to you, that they seek you with all their heart, that they open their Bible, maybe even to the book of John, and that they sit down and they begin to read and learn about you, Jesus, and all that you are to us and all that you want to be to us. And so, Lord, right now, We speak a blessing of healing. We speak a blessing of deliverance, of restoration, of emotional healing. Where there is brokenness in our listeners, Lord, let today be the beginning of that healing process. And Lord, where there is forgiveness that is needed in their lives, let them be willing this day to reach out in forgiveness to those that have hurt them. And so, Lord, let today be a stake in the ground day where they begin to say, from this moment on, I will walk with you, Jesus, as the light of my life. Lord, this is our prayer. And we speak healing to the sick ones that are listening today. And those that are hurting, we speak emotional healing today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Carol, you comment. We'll come back to Nan after you.
Okay, this is my closing comment. I'm not a vapor in the wind. I have heard God call my name, and my soul surrenders all. His peace rests within my heart. His love encourages me to continue my life's path. There is no more powerful love than the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So today,
wow,
I'm hoping that my life will continue to be a light, that it will shine brighter, and that other people will ask me more and more of what I have that has brought this smile to my face and the change in my countenance.
Right.
And
absolutely,
it's the love of Jesus Christ, and most of all, the forgiveness. Because every day I forget to do something the right way, or I don't do it the right way. I just try to hear his voice and move on. And I applaud each of you, the two of you together today there, for having the courage and the wisdom to seek more and more of Jesus and to give more and more of Jesus to each of you. I say blessed to you, and may your days be long and numbered well, and may the light of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to shine in each of you. It's in his precious name I pray. Amen.
Praise God, Carol. Wow. Thank you so much. That was absolutely beautiful. And I'm coming to Georgia to be with you tomorrow, so we're excited about that.
Nan, would you be so gracious as when the show goes off to take her hand and pray for travel mercies for her and for DL?
Absolutely, Carol.
As they come up here, because they're coming to receive a blessing that has been laid on them by another church that folded, and see how the Lord continues to bless Beacon of Hope.
Yes. Thank you, Carol. You're a blessing to us. We're glad you're a part of our radio team, and I will see you tomorrow.
Okay, be safe, and know that there will be victuals on the table. So.
All right, just so there's good victuals on the table. Yeah, that's all. That's great. God bless you. Thank you, Carol.
God bless, and I will see both of you in a later day.
All right. Nan, comment on all this, Jesus being our light.
Jesus being our light. What came to mind that I wanted to close with is based around one of the songs that was on today, Come As You Are.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage people that wherever they are, they can just come as they are. You know,
amen.
Sometimes one of the tricks of the enemy is to make us think we're not worthy.
Right.
We're not worthy. You know, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Because, you know, we've all heard it said, if it had just been me, if just been you, he
right.
would have done it. You know,
right.
but just to come as they are.
Absolutely.
And he loves them. He loves us all. And all we do is just, despite our brokenness or our hassles or our hang-ups or our problems or whatever, it really doesn't matter. We can just come as we are.
You know, and that just came out so strongly today at Beacon of Hope, mm-hmm. in the prophetic words that came forth.
That's true.
And what God was saying to the congregation about how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And how much he cares about the details of our lives, and that we're not just lone ships sailing around in life's waters, you know, but we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. And even though that sometimes our days are difficult and that we have struggles, he is right there with us, mm-hmm. and he is right there guiding us each day and giving us the wisdom and the strength to get through those painful and hurtful times,
mm-hmm.
or difficult times, whatever they may be.
Right.
You know, it's just a joy to be able to talk about what Jesus is doing in our lives, mm-hmm. Nan. That's what this is about. That's
right.
What this radio show is about as we begin year number six. Today. It's exciting to know that we have this vehicle that we can sit here in perfect freedom and liberty,
right.
and talk about Jesus and pray for people and lead them to the source of all life, which is Jesus, and just point the way. That's what it's all about.
we need to enjoy the freedom that we have.
Amen.
You know, both in government wise, as far as us being able to be here without the police coming and
telling us to be quiet,
taking us away somewhere, but also delight in the freedom that we have through Jesus Christ.
It's just fantastic. It's wonderful. What a joy to be in his presence. So we want you to experience that, too. And thank you, Nan, for your time on the show today, too. And filled in for Brother Nathan, who was not able to be here, but we'll hear from him at another time.
Yes, we will.
And but to each of you that are going through difficult times, if you need prayer, please write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can actually contact me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can also contact my associate pastor, Pastor Jim, at pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com, because we are here for you, whether you're a part of this ministry or you live far away or whatever. There's a lot of people that are part of Beacon of Hope that are not physically right here in Clearwater, Florida. So we encourage you to listen to the shows on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Listen to them. Use them as learning tools. Get your Bible. Sit down with a notebook and get into the Word of God. And that's what we do on Wednesday night, which we started to talk about earlier. But we welcome them if they're in the Tampa Bay area this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And bring your Bible and a notebook and just have fun. Sometimes we bring dinner because we set up tables,
right? Absolutely.
So we encourage you to come if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Visit with us Wednesday night at 7. We're located at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Easy to find. And just come and be a part of if you're not a part of a local body of believers, you need to be. We have prayer cells within our ministry. You're the leader of one of those prayer cells. And it's a joy to be able to have a group of people that are your prayer buddies, isn't it?
It's very fantastic. It's very powerful.
Right.
And you really can really get down and get down with some prayer requests and sharing with each other and it's very powerful. It is fantastic.
It really
is. Fantastic.
So Wednesday night at 7. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at Beacon of Hope is a regular service like most of you have grown up going to. Great, powerful music. Our praise band is amazing. We have a mixture of traditional music and contemporary, and it's just wonderful. It rocks the house with all the instruments and all the vocals, and it is fun. 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, and then, of course, the preaching of the Word, the ministry of the Word. There's a lot of ministry to people today. Mm-hmm. We welcome you 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. If you want to give to this ministry, be sowing your finances into it, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go to PayPal, and you can sow finances, tithes, and offerings into God's kingdom at Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus, and we want to emphasize that to you today. Get in your Bible, get in the book of John, join us in the study in the book of John, and find out that Jesus is right there for you. He is the light of the world. He is your light and your source. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and two of our radio team, Nan Watson and Carol Wichard, and saying, God bless you. Have a great week. Join us next week live, because we'll be here. We hope you will. 4 o'clock Tampa time on this radio station. God bless you. Have a great week. It's not far to Jesus. It's not far from me.
TAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.